Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. It's a scientific fact that every decision, every action causes a response. In the realm of sowing and reaping, Scripture assures us that whatever we sow is what we will reap.
Galatians 6, verse 7 in the Classic Amplified says, "Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap." Did you see that? That and that only is what he will reap? You know, if you sow apples, you reap apples. If you sow corn, you reap corn. If you sow money, you reap money. If you sow prayer, you will be prayed for. So whatever we sow, that is going to be what we reap, according to the Word of God. Paul says that when we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. In Galatians 6:8, listen to this. Galatians 6, verse 8, Classic Amplified. "For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life."
Hallelujah. You know, honey, this is said in the context of teaching on the giving of money. It's reasonable to assume that Paul is implying that if we fail to give, then we're sowing to the flesh. If we're faithful to give, then we're sowing to the Spirit. We want to share this with you again. We want to say it again. If we fail to give, then we're sowing to the flesh. But if we are faithful to give, we're sowing to the Spirit. Here are seven facts about generous givers. Number one, generous givers are blessed in everything their hands find to do.
In Deuteronomy 15, verse 10 in the New International Version, it says, "Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hands to."
Hallelujah. Give generously to them is a reference to the poor, as mentioned in Deuteronomy 15:11.
Deuteronomy 15:11 in the Classic Amplified, and it says, "For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hands to your brother, to your needy, and to your poor in your land."
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for poor is H34, and it means in want, needy, chiefly poor, needy person, subject to oppression and abuse, needing help, deliverance from trouble, especially as delivered by God.
Mm.
We're told to give to the poor without a grudging heart. God loves a cheerful giver.
And so he says so in 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 9:7 in the Classic Amplified says this, "Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in and prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon," hallelujah, "or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving."
Deuteronomy 15:10 goes on to say in the New International Version, "When we give to the poor, needy, those who've been financially abused, and those in trouble, God will bless. He'll bless us in everything our hands find to do."
Hallelujah.
Truthfully, God's blessings on us is it's a far greater joy than we could even imagine.
Mm. Number two, recognize that our generosity comes from the Lord. Wow, because God is a giver and someone who loves. There is a very basic scriptural concept that has been somewhat lost for the most part in the body of Christ. We own nothing, but we get to manage everything. We are stewards. Deuteronomy 10:14 in the Classic Amplified Bible, Deuteronomy 10:14 says, "Behold, the heavens and the heaven of the heavens belong to the Lord your God. The earth also, with all that is in it and on it." If we understand that God owns everything, it clarifies our thinking and keeps us from making inaccurate and unscriptural assumptions about the things that we, quote, own in this life. When we can finally get it that God really owns everything and that we own nothing, then it'll prevent us from putting the things in our possessions into two piles, sacred and secular. The human tendency is to say, this belongs to God, it's sacred, and this belongs to me. But in reality, everything belongs to Him. When we understand that everything belongs to God, then we'll can be more attentive to His voice when He directs us to give generously. In 1 Chronicles 29:14 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Everything comes from God, and we only have what He gives us.
That's powerful.
It is powerful.
Number three, generous people repay their debts. Some people tell stories with pride about how they skipped out on a debt, not having to pay this bill or that one. The scripture defines such people as wicked, whether they're born again or not. It is morally and scripturally wrong to incur a debt with no intent to ever pay it off. On the one hand, the scripture implies that repaying your debts makes you righteous, and that as such, you give generously. Paying our debts makes us righteous. Being scripturally generous to the works of the kingdom of God makes us a generous person. Psalm 37:26 in the Living Bible. Instead, the godly are able to be generous with their gifts and loans to others, and their children are a blessing. We think it's important to fully understand Psalm 37:21 in the Classic Amplified Bible. It says, "The wicked borrow and pay not again, for they may be unable, but the uncompromisingly righteous deal kindly and give for all they are able."
Number four, God makes house calls to the generous. Do you have neighbors and maybe family members who drop by from time to time for visits? Some expected and maybe some not. Some welcome and perhaps some not. But if you could choose one person out of everybody in history to stop by your house for a visit, who would it be? Probably without question, as Christians, we would say Jesus. Well, in Psalm 112:5 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. There is none better than the Lord." So when we live a generous lifestyle, we're actually positioning ourselves for a visit from our God. We think that's impossible? Consider Psalm 22:3. Psalm 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." When we praise God for who He is, for what He does, and what He's doing right now, and what He's going to do, and for us and those we love, then we are inviting God to be with us. Perhaps not convinced that God's ready to sit down with you? Well, let's look at the Hebrew meaning behind the three key words in this passage. First, the word inhabitist is the Hebrew word H3427, and in Strong's Concordance, it's translated as to dwell, remain, sit, abide. A second word is the word praises is the Hebrew word H8416, and in Strong's Concordance, It means praise, song of or hymn of praise, adoration, thanksgiving paid to God, act of general or public praise. And finally, if we look up the word Israel, it's the Hebrew word H3478, and in Strong's Concordance, it is translated as God prevails, or the name of the descendants and the nation of the descendants of Jacob. So to remove all doubt, let's go over to Acts 3, verse 25 in the Classic Amplified. It says, "You are the descendants, the sons of the prophets, and the heirs of the covenant which God made and gave to your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, the heir, shall all the families of the earth be blessed and benefited."
Wow.
You know, we are considered children of Abraham when we are born again. We are translated into, or grafted, as the word says, into that family line, so that we can know with absolute scriptural documentation that God is always in our presence when we're lifting up his name in praise and thanksgiving. He clearly inhabits the praises of his people, and that includes the praise that you send up to him. So that we might say when we praise God that he becomes a permanent house guest. And I also love this, honey, because it says over in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit inhabits the innermost being of our personality. So, you know, he is God in us, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
And
true.
What is that that word that means God in us, you know?
Enthusiasm.
That too. And I love it. Anyway, okay. Good enough for me for today. Because we're not going to finish today.
No, we're not.
We'll figure that out and bring it up tomorrow.
We'll do that.
That's it. On a marvelous, have a marvelous Saturday, and tomorrow we'll finish up on a sensational Sunday.
A brief review. Number one, generous givers are blessed in everything their hands find to do. Number two, recognize that our generosity comes from the Lord. Number three, generous people repay their debts. And number four, I love this one. God makes house calls to the generous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you said, we're not finishing today. We'll do it on tomorrow's call. But if you've been blessed by the teaching or the ministry, go to heraldherring.com. In the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.